Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblight podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tyrone, and joining me this week is Ryan. How you doing there, bud?
I still like how we were a Legion of Everblight focused podcast, and now we're just a podcast. Like, the focus is gone. We're all over the place.
What can I say? We bring on too many random guests for us to focus on one faction anymore.
Hey, is that a segue into a guest introduction? Because it sounds like one.
Yeah, but you just ruined it with your loud background noise and calling it out.
Well, it's not my fault that planes fly near my fucking house, you dick.
But yes, as Ryan was saying, we do have a special guest, Seth Cohen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm going to do what I can to try to help you guys focus. It's only taken us 45 minutes to start recording.
Don't call us out on the show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We save that for other people, like Jay Larson and his hatred of Hellmouth. That is just wrong.
Fix it in post.
I'm not doing that. All right. So today we were going to talk to Seth about stuff, important stuff, but unfortunately we kind of had some technical issues. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is Oblivion drop today. The updates hit War Room, hit the website. Everything is live. Everything is crazy. So we're going to talk about what changes are in store for Legion thanks to Oblivion.
Right.
We are literally doing it live right now.
Well, can I just throw out something real quick?
Totally.
I've been playing this game a pretty long time and in privateer press in lots of ways. But one of the things that I have never been too confident of is their ability to roll out something. I got to say, I'm a little impressed.
Yeah. War Room is not on fire. The website has all the updates. The cards are updated on the database. Like,
the problems people were having was understanding how to use the app as opposed to the app having bugs. Kudos to Privateer on that one. Nice job, gentlemen.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the only thing that affected us is, like, Ravens of War didn't include the Rotwings, and that'll get addressed, I'm sure.
No, it already did.
Oh, did it?
I have a Ravens list, and it's not yelling at me that they're not allowed in there.
Well, shit.
So I think if somebody, like, literally just needs to update the app again. But I know when Hungerford was on, he said he was basically the one who, like, did all the coding for War Room.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that guy is kind of busting his ass. So, worked with code, but it's a pain in the ass when you have, like, an unlimited amount of alcohol and long deadlines. I can only imagine how much worse it is when you don't have those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair. Good on you, Hungerford.
Yeah, so, let's talk really quick. We got a, correction from our previous episode about Fianna. We said we could put use the countercharge in the refuge interaction or admonition. What was it? Admonition, right?
Admonition and countercharge?
Yeah, we said we could do that with the Primal Archon. We can't because yeah, it's battle group. Yeah.
You can still do it with a rake.
Yeah, it's battle group.
Yeah. So. Get that awesome rake countercharging action. Hit people with a POW 12 they're not expecting. Why are the lights so bad?
All right. Countercharge
is very useful. If you get a model in where the opponent wasn't expecting it to be, it can mess up everything else, right? I mean, you know, orders of activations are important, fellas.
If that model wasn't a rake that died to literally anything that hit it, I would agree with you.
All right.
Unfortunately, it dies to literally anything that hits it.
It has to hit it first, though, and it's got defense 15. Anyway, we're not going to talk about the rake. It's stable com, I'm sure. What we are going to talk about is the changes to Legion in the document. We'll start with something simple. Nephilim Bloodseer, the change to telemetry, now gives other friendly models +2 to magic attack rules while against enemy models in the smallest command range. That's a slight change that's across the board. Every model with telemetry is getting that. So it's no longer friendly faction, and now it's just friendly. I believe this was due to the Hermit and Sacrovault picked up telemetry, I think.
Yes, Sacrovault picked up telemetry. Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. That's not nothing.
I mean, it's certainly a change.
Yeah.
What, like, was the Hermit doing that it required the change?
It gets telemetry with one of its abilities.
Yeah, it could give telemetry, but it was listed as friendly faction originally, and I think the Hermit was a merc, so it was literally only helping mercs.
Yeah.
Or they were changing that to actually be useful with other people. They said, screw it, we're just going to change all of it.
Yeah. He was partisan a couple factions, so it Anyway, doesn't matter. Telemetry is now friendly instead of friendly faction, which is really cool.
Right.
What else do we got? So, model changes. We discussed this with Hungerford when he was on the show. Bladedness Legionnaires are cost 813 for a min-max unit. What did they write? They said, we shaved a couple points off of Legionnaires. They are feeling a bit overcosted at the previous point cost, and this should help them find a home for people reaching for a cheap melee unit. I think
them a home?
I don't know. The home may still remain on the shelf, but we'll see. I'd be happy to try them again, for sure.
So, they're a cheaper melee unit in Children of the Dragon, for sure.
Yep.
But if you're just reaching for a, screw it, I want these things to die and just be in the way, Ratwings are still cheaper, Grotesques are still cheaper.
Like, yeah, but that's Ravens.
They might have a job in Children, as just being that cheaper kind of tar pit unit. They can get up to arm 17 base. You know, if you buff them a little bit, maybe they can take a hit, but they're still single wound infantry with no real damage output, so they're going to be a meat shield.
Yeah, what would it take to get them into a list for you? Like, you know, if the point drop wasn't enough, and you know, I'm not just trying to play devil's advocate here, see to make that a unit that's going to get into a list.
So for me, I want Feralor to be not 5 points.
Yeah.
First of all, because he's just ridiculously expensive for what he is. I know you can take him for acquisition point, but you have better options in Incubi or Kralix or other things. So I would like to either see him get cheaper or get something useful. If he got Mage Static back from Mark II, that would probably be enough to at least get him tried. Alternatively, if they just gave the unit like Sack Pawn for like whatever Warlock was in the army, like I could see taking them then.
Okay.
But as they stand, like their fluff wise, they're supposed to be like Thagrosh's own personal defenders and the things that are standing between him and whatever enemy wants to come and end him, and they're dudes with POW 10s. That's not particularly threatening, right?
Gotcha. You know, all over the webs today, you know, one of the things I did was as soon as the link came out for the model changes, I put them up in the Facebook pages I'm in charge of and, you know, pointed out in all the different chats that I'm in that, you know, this stuff is out there. And, you know, a lot of people's reaction, similar to different things depending upon their faction. But one of the things that some folks were saying in one of the chats was, Privateer has said that they're going to be watching this change carefully, right? They didn't say that, hey, this is what you got until we choose to announce some kind of change again. They're actually watching. So my suggestion would be, even though they're not officially playtesting, taking notes or, recording pen and paper. I mean, you know, some actual games so you can give them some data when they do ask for it or you know, it comes up that they'd like some data.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing with archers for the longest time. I plan on doing it with them. It's just going to be a, you know, either get battle reports in or whatever and say, hey, I know you guys aren't necessarily maybe taking feedback on this, but I just wanted to share it. If this adds to whatever data you're personally using, like, cool. If not, whatever.
Right. Because if they don't hear from us, they don't know it's wrong. And they don't hear from us in a constructive fashion, right? They don't know it's wrong unless they happen to be standing next to you watching you play, 17 Marauders at War Machine Weekend.
Yeah. Right. And it's the same thing as anything else, right? There's only, what, 4 or 5 people who do like playtesting and whatnot. I know they said everybody's like secondary job is to playtest, but how many people could really play at, you know, a high level consistently and say, hey, this isn't, you know, me screwing up, this unit is legitimately in need of help.
What they used to do back in the day was there were top secret playtesters, and a whole bunch of them were NJSOBs. I was not one of them. And, you know, the guys, we'd play games on a Thursday night, and these little clutches of people would talk and discuss, and they'd fill out this paperwork. And I'm kind of wondering if it wouldn't behoove the company to do like a mix. Hey, we're going to do CID, we're going to do internal playtesting, and then just shuffle around and you know, drop some rules and experimental stuff on this group over here and tell us what you think over 2 weeks and, you know, inspired people to play games. I don't think it was necessarily bad, right? So I think it'd probably be good if they went and did their playtest circle.
Yeah, and speaking of CID, in case anybody hasn't heard yet, they did say they were slowing down on CIDs and not to expect as many legacy changes out of CID. It's basically just going to be for new models, because that was one thing I've seen a lot of today of, oh, well, they're just dropping this update and it didn't go through CID and none of this went through the community. What do they think they're doing? They can't do this. And I just want to take a second and remind people that, first of all, they literally did this for years. Like, CID is a relatively new thing. Nobody is required to put any models or anything through there for your approval. They're just not.
Right.
So calm the fuck down. And second of all, like, CID is only going to be used for new things. So if the company is looking at something and says, hey, this is underpowered and we want to bring it up, or we think this is getting, you know, too much and we want to tone it down, you don't have a say in it. You just flat don't. So take the self-important hat off and calm the fuck down.
You know, it's funny. Privateer almost did it to themselves in a way. Did either of you guys live through the Mark I transition to Mark II?
No.
Nope, was not playing way back then.
All right. So what they basically did was they took almost a full year and they opened up the forums and they said, hey, you know, play this model, tell us what you think, post about it. So the community almost designed Mark II themselves, almost. You know, the company obviously did what they're supposed to do as designers. And it was such a change because so many of us in Mark I were disgruntled 40K players where they were, the company was happy to tell us, we don't care about you. So Privateer had this, oh, we listen to our guys, we listen to our community. So now they're kind of paying the price for that, right? Everyone expects that there's an empty chair at their headquarters for a random player to come in off the street and help with design.
Yeah. I don't mind, like, I thought CID was an okay idea, but for the last, like, I don't know, year, I've also been advocating for exactly what they've done, which is just go ahead, see what's working, see what's not, make the changes. And,
yep,
like,
it's important to get feedback on some things. It is also important to realize that all of your feedback, and I say this completely sincerely, was not genuine, and you're wasting time having to, like, shuffle it in and out. You look back at, like, the Battle Engine CID, where you literally had people saying that the turtle would never be played and it was, you know, overcosted and didn't do enough for its points. You look back at our own Legion one for Primal Terrors, and half the reports were people bitching about Hellmouths and, like, complaining that Chosen were just overpowered and were going to run the meta and that they couldn't be as good as they were. You have these small groups of very vocal people who pick up on things and just go, I don't like this, therefore I will spam either fake battle reports or misleading ones or whatever to get the results I want. And at the best case scenario is the company is realizing that, hey, these are bullshit and we're just going to ignore them. The worst case scenario is any amount of them slip through and get taken seriously. And that actually affects how things come out.
I was going to say at the end of the day, right, we all agree that we like the direction they're headed. So let's move on because the time is ticking away.
Yeah, so next model we got, they talked about this on another show or mentioned it somewhere, Strider Scouts gaining combined range attack. They had it in Mark II. They lost it in the transition as they were trying to compare them to archers and differentiate them. But what they said is they are bringing back combined range attack on Strider Scouts. This will return some of their identity as a skirmishing range unit with a bit more versatility on the table. CRE is great to have on a ranged unit. I don't know how great it is on a six-man ranged unit, but I'm happy to have it.
I've used it once or twice now. I've gotten games with it, and it's actually really nice to have back. Just being able to get hand cannon shots out again at an effective mat or rat 8 with Hunter. And, I mean, you know, you pay for the full package with the UA to give them repo, and what the hell's the other one that the Death Stalker gives them? Kill something, you get to move 2 inches. I can't think of what the hell it's called now.
Swift Hunter.
Yeah, there we go. But that gives them, like, a 5-inch move after they kill a thing, effectively. Right. So, like, you get to go forward 7, shoot a thing, back up 5. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Made a 2-point swing, right? Never underestimate plus 2. When you're talking about a D6 base game, plus 2 is a big deal. So, you know, CRAing two guys together, you're essentially getting a plus 2.
Yeah, it's just nice to have back, and I think it really helps the unit a lot.
Okay, awesome. I'm looking forward to playing them for sure, because they're one of the few units I like actually played in Mark II, because they were part of the Saren like all-in-one box back in the day. You guys remember that thing?
I forgot that existed.
Yeah, it was a good box. You murdered a lot of people under Saren's feet turn, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about maybe that another time, but for now, the last model that got changed is the Blight Wasps. There's no more War Beast facts. They're gone. They are now lesser War Beasts that affected both the Blight Wasps and the Scarabs from Scorn. Blight Wasps, point cost 3, command 2, fury 2, threshold 7. They no longer have damage boxes, but instead have a spiral, the same as all of our lessers, so 4 in the mind, 4 in the body, and 5 in the spirit. Their ability Hunting Pack no longer refers to the unit, though it stayed the same. You get a +1 cumulative bonus to melee attack and damage rolls for each other Blight Wasp with the target of this model's melee attack in its melee range. This cumulative bonus cannot exceed +3, which is essentially where it was capped previously, thanks to unit restrictions. And the Animus changed as well to, it says Hornet's Nest, but now it says, when target friendly faction Lesser Warbeast destroys an enemy model with a basic melee attack during its combat action, after the attack is resolved, it can advance up to 1 inch and make an additional melee attack. Hornet's Nest lasts for one turn. It's still a range 6, cost 2 Animus. This Animus nuts.
It's killing spree for Lessers.
Yeah.
You throw that on a shredder and just let it go to town, and
it feels really good. Like, I read that and I'm like, oh no.
Like, you're gonna have like Absalonialists send Proteus in and go, ah yes, look at all of these things in my melee range. Shredder, go kill them all.
Right.
Yep. I think this Animus is incredible. For just because of the fact it's not limited to the Blight Wasps themselves, so you really have a lot of versatility on where and how you apply it. Unfortunately, it is cost 2, but I can understand why it's cost 2.
Yep, it's going to be your entire Blight Wasps activation, and you need to have the Fury management for it, but, you know, for, again, you take one Blight Wasp and one Shredder, it's a 7-point package, and I'm relatively certain you could eat most of a unit. Now do that on, like, Abby 2 feet turn, where they both have 2-inch reach.
Oh yeah, use the entire unit.
Yeah, you get real goofy real quick.
I think Hornet's Nest is really interesting to me because we've looked at our lessers, you know, throughout the last couple years in Mark III, and they haven't really been taken. The Shredder used to be taken for its Animus. I could see the Blight Wasp being taken specifically for its Animus and its utility, and I think this is kind of like a template that I would like to see going forward on other lesser War Beasts. Like, do something cool and powerful, and give us kind of a reason to see these beasts on the table again.
Right, and also you can't forget the synergy the Wasp now has with like Thagrash too, because he can spawn one if he takes damage. It can get run by the Beast Mistress because it is a lesser.
Yep,
and you can spawn him out of the pot now, so maybe this helps bring the pot back because it actually has, you know, another utility lesser to choose from.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see where this goes. I think that, like, just that one change to the Blight Wasp becoming a lesser War Beast is, you know, kind of transformative for that beast, so I'm really excited about it.
Seth, what do you think?
Like I said, I think I summed it up when I said, oh no. I see those things Pac-Manning through lots of stuff. Absalonia was what I was thinking of. I didn't know her by name, but I knew there was one, you know, 2 inches, you know, just charging across the board, and all of a sudden, you know, all of my Steel Legion's been eaten, or all of my Winter Guard has been eaten. You could feel free to put that in the same pile as the Hellmouth and light it on fire.
Oh, come now.
That's a little harsh. Actually, a question this does bring up, though, with the beast, not beast mistress, Christ, Sorceress on Hellion.
Yeah.
If she puts down the AoE, does that count as it destroying something?
Yes, it does.
So you're telling me a single Blight Wasp can eat through an entire unit of, say, I don't know, Iron Fang Pikeman in Shield Wall under, you know, like a +3 armor feat.
As long as they aren't some annoying tough unit, you're going to get a lot of work out of that.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so it works.
You don't have Iron Fang Pikeman, right? You don't run them, do you?
Well, I don't paint them, I'll say that much. unit I own that I absolutely abhor painting, and I just every time I like go to paint those models, I find something else to paint. It's really upsetting.
Yikes. All right, well, that's kind of enough about Legion. Why don't we talk about a bit about Kador? I think there was a bunch of stuff that changed in Kador, is that right?
Not as much as you would think. It was adjustments on some rules. I'm trying to the document so I can speak with a little bit of knowledge. I know some folks who are remarkably upset about the changes. I know some people who are like, oh, okay, sounds good.
There was one very important change, and that's Armored Core is now spelled with a K, as it should have been from the beginning.
That's very important.
It's the only change Kador needed.
I don't get it, quite frankly. I'd like them to put out a pronunciation guide and a spelling guide. People literally had arguments in threads about the C versus the K. I'm like, seriously? Yeah, I'm staying out of that one.
It's very important, Seth.
Come on now, comrade.
Yeah, so there was some changes with Airburst. Thamorite was added to some folks. You know, I'm not going to go down list by list. One of the interesting things is that Kossites got a point drop. Kossites are awful since Mark 1.
Oh, okay.
They've never been. It's not like they were good and they got nerfed and they never came back. They've never been good. We've been saying for years and years and years that all they need is CRA. Give them something. Give them an attachment that gives them something, right? So if you pay for Yuri as well, who went down to cost 5, you give them Tree Walker. So for 6 points, if for an 11-point package and one of them being a requisition slot, so for a 6-point package, you get an ambushing tree walking unit that is power 10. So I think in Jaws lists where, you know, your jacks now have Pathfinder and you can put out 18 inches up from your board edge, a 5-inch circle forest, you might find some utility there. And then of course, like I said, folks are really arguing about that. I'm one of those players. I need to put it on the table, see it, talk about it, think about it, before I can say, yes, this is going to be great, or no, this is never going to work. So,
Do you think with the point cost and you know, the changes that you'll actually see the unit on the table? Do you think that package will actually show up?
Yes, because of the new scenarios. I think Okay. Because of the steamroller, you're gonna see. Because what Jaws used to do was stop other people from ambushing. It doesn't do that anymore. So now you kind of need your own ambush answer. You know, now you have it. It's not a great answer is my suspicion, but we'll see what happens, right? We'll give it a try. 6 points and taking Yuri as a requisition, and then we'll see what we get done. Yuri can be a real beast just on his own. We'll see what happens. Assault Commandos went down. Assault Commandos, they still haven't really found a good place, in my opinion, in Kador. You know, they have the shield wall, they have the goggles and the mask that make them, you know, immune to all the different gas effects and things. I've not seen them on the table a very long time. I know that, you know, a couple years ago, someone won something big and had a unit in there. Yeah, you know, because they're not terrible, but they just don't feel like, I don't know how to describe, trying to say what I'm trying to say here. There's not a natural fit where you're going through list construction and saying, oh, you know what I need here? Some Assault Commandos.
Yeah, they're like not exciting.
Yeah, there needs to be a specific, you need to be answering something specific in your meta. You take these, but I'm always happy to see things go down in point cost.
Do the flamethrowers not give them a role as just like infantry clearers? Maybe not the best ones, but...
Well, you had to pay more for them, right? You had to... And I could be talking out my tuchus on that one. I don't remember because it's been so long since I've even tried to put them in a list. But I'm pretty sure you have they're a weapon attachment that you have to pay for. Mm. Yeah, you know. But hey, like I said, happy to have them go down to 915, and you know, maybe some folks will take them. I've been saying for a while, you know, it's an oversimplification, but you know, Mark II was all sorts of different lists, but the same three casters from each faction, right? And then right. Mark III has been all the different casters, but all the same lists. I'm really looking forward to really unique and different and interesting lists coming from this update.
Yeah. So you personally, what list are you excited to try out the most? Like, do you have one in mind where you looked at it and just kind of went, nope, this is the first thing I want to try. This just looks cool as hell.
I am terrible at list construction. The list I'm having the most success with right now is one that was designed by a European WTC player who I should really learn his name, so I keep talking about this list. It's an Old Witch 2 list. I put it into the new Oblivion themes, and it looks like I have an extra jack and some extra points, or maybe an extra unit of mechanics. I can't remember. I got to work with it a little more. I still want to play that list. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I definitely want to try the 3 in Armored Core, but she's really taking more jacks than she's taking Armored Core, and I'm going to take some... because what she gives the jacks is flank, and she can give them counter charge, and she can speed them up with +2 movement. Stoke the Fires is its spell. It's a cheap spell. She can spam it out everywhere. So you get some, the Kador Man of War Cav models, and you croc that flank. You get some of the tankers out there, croc that flank, and or even take some min infantry just with that 2-inch reach weapon. And I think those jacks are just going to do some serious, serious damage. I really want to give that a try.
Yes, because damage is the thing Kador jacks have never been able to put out regularly.
Well, the challenge with an Armored Core list has always been volume of attacks, right? I mean, they're great models, but they don't have a ton of attacks. So this is a way to really bring that volume up on that. So I don't think that's a bad thing. But I, of course, could be completely wrong. I could throw that on the table, and Steve Rabideau could do his usual, oh, look at this, it's the bottom of turn 2. Let's go get something to drink because we're done playing.
That's an amazing shout out.
Well, at least you know your weakness.
On Saturday, and so he left his the big Supreme Ancestral Guardian thing, right, within charge range of my Marauder, which gets the extra die against the huge base models.
Mm-hmm.
And I charged. I'm like, haha, I have you now. Like, you know, I'm finally going to win one of these games. And I roll 4 dice on that damage roll, and it was 1-1-1-1.
Beautiful.
So, so again, we will against Steven Rabideau today. He's an outstanding player, just a great all around guy. So yeah, shout out to him.
How did he not like defensive strike you and cut both your arms off?
Because it's
that's what I was waiting for.
With 36 boxes or 34 boxes.
Yeah, but it's a Supreme Guardian. Those things are busted as hell.
That's what they do. All right. I think that's good for that. I got to technically correct. I know people have been kind of hoping for its return. It's a quick one. Because of the change to Children of the Dragon, where we get Tactician from the Warlock on the Nyss, we can actually use that to trample with Lilith 3 through raptors and not deal any damage to them.
Repeat that?
So it's, with...
Yep, because they're not a small base model.
Yep.
Yep. It's the same thing as Abby-1 putting flight on a heavy and trampling over stuff. Yep.
Okay.
That checks out.
All right.
You contact the base, but you only roll against small-based models for tramples.
So trample over your own raptors with Lilith 3. Do it.
It's pretty silly.
As long as Legion models are dying.
Well, no, they're not dying. That's specifically the point.
Yep. Because Tactician, and you only roll against small-based models for damage, you get to trample through your own unit of cavalry, not actually do any damage to them, but get the extra 3 inches of movement.
Okay, now I'm following you, and that sucks. It should burn in a fire. Along with the Hellmouth.
You know,
draw my Legion of Steel.
All right.
I don't know why you hate on all of these things so much. Who touched you in a bad place, Seth? Tentacle grabbed you?
Probably Lilith too, honestly, back in the day. But anyway, I think that'll do. That's kind of a quick episode. I'm not sure if we'll invite Seth back, because apparently he hates Legion.
I think I'm very clear about that up front.
I mean, it's just the Hellmouth hatred. We get enough of that, and we don't need any more of it.
All right, well,
I'll tone down the rhetoric for the next one.
We appreciate that. We'll get further into a talk with Seth on our next episode, because we just kind of wanted to bang one out, because, like I said, we had technical difficulties, which prevented us from doing a proper episode. So this is kind of a short one.
Seth, episode.
Yeah, we'll get to the Seth episode next week. Oh, and we lost Ryan, and he's back. And I would like to thank you all for listening to episode 47 of Blightbringers. We'll talk to you again soon.
I don't know what I missed, but I'm sorry that I missed it.
Signed off.
All right. Goodbye, guys.